Let us pray. Teach us your way, O Lord, and lead us on a level path. Teach us, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then we will keep them to the end. Give us understanding, and we will keep your law and obey it with all our heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Listen to the word of God. Our reading today is from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in Christ the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you are circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you are buried with him in baptism, you are also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you are dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him. When he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands, he set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them. This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel lesson today is from Luke's gospel in the 11th chapter. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And the man answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though the man will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will be given a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. Well, the Lord's Prayer. It's been with us our whole lives. We learned it in Sunday school. We've been saying it every Sunday in church. What in the world more can I say about it? Well, I tried. Tried to come up with something. When the children last year did their monthly lesson on the prayer, They learned the Lord's Prayer, but they also learned about prayer in general. And they learned that we can remember the different ways to prayer through a little acronym, ACTS. It has nothing to do with the company here in Iowa City. A stands for adoration. C stands for confession. T for thanksgiving. And S for supplication. Supplication being what we ask for ourselves, things that we need for ourselves. So looking at the Lord's Prayer, even in its briefest form in Luke, we see that all four of those types of prayer are found in this short version that Christ gives to the disciples. He says, whoops, I moved my place marker. When he starts out saying, Father, hallowed be your name, he is offering adoration to God. He's praising God. When he says, your kingdom come, that's thanksgiving. We're saying thank you that your kingdom is coming to us. We are going to live in your kingdom. When he says, give us this day our daily bread, we're asking for supplication. That's the kind of prayer that supplication is, where we're asking for something for ourselves. Give us our daily sustenance. And then the prayer says, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. There is the confession. We are sinful. Forgive us for those sins. And then do not bring us to a time of trial is another supplication. Be with us and show us the way. So those four kinds of prayers are right there in the prayer that he teaches the disciples. And the important thing, I think, about those four types of prayers is that they all involve human emotion. Every one of those parts requires us to feel. They're not just words to be rattled off, you know, out of memory. We don't just say them by rote. But each of those requires us to have a feeling. And that's what's so amazing about the Lord's Prayer, because we go through all of those things, all of those types of prayers in one prayer, so that our feelings are on a roller coaster. We're asking for ourselves. We're adoring God. We're confessing. We're praising. So our emotions are all over the place. But, you know, I think that's what God is telling us that we are to do when we pray, is to be ourselves, to show what we're feeling in those moments of prayer. God created us so uniquely. As humans, we have the ability to feel the wide range of human emotions that we feel, don't we? Everything from joy to the greatest sorrow. And I think what God wants back from us, and particularly through this example of prayer, is to show those feelings, to show those unique things about us to God. That when we pray for thanksgiving, it's not in a flat tone. When we pray in sorrow for loss, let the tears come. We have the ability to think and feel and react to all kinds of human situations. And that's what God wants us to bring to God in prayer. Now, I went to a couple of resources to find out more about how we can find out about prayer. Just the first glance at the website, I found 168 websites that would help you with ideas about prayers or how to pray. There's one website that tells you kind of you've been praying wrong all the time and here's the right way to pray. So you can get whatever help you need there. And then I went to Amazon to see how many books you could find on prayer. Do you know that in my my first click on books on prayer, they came up with 87,595 books on prayer. So anything you want to know is right out there. We focus on prayer as Christians because we feel, because we experience life so fully, and we want to share that with God. We want to give back to God in our words, in our prayer, those feelings that we have experienced in all of the activities of our lives. And I think one of the best examples for how to pray and how to express those emotions in prayer come from the Psalms. I think that if you start at the beginning with Psalm 1 and go to Psalm 150, you will find an opening for prayer in almost every psalm. Now, I'm going to give you some examples, and I'm not going to give you just one or two. I'm going to give you a bunch. A psalm of thanks begins, "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing high praise to your name, O Most High Lord." How can you not be joyful and thankful with those words? A strange emotion that sometimes we don't really talk about very much is this emotion of awesome, the feeling of awesomeness. Listen to this psalm. "We have heard with our ears, O God, our ancestors have told us what deeds you performed in their days, in the days of old. You, with your own hand, drove out the nations, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples, but them you set free." There's awe in those words to God. The Psalms help us to seek forgiveness. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." You can't smile through that. That's raw emotion. But there's also joy. "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God." Then there's anger. And it's not, we should not be ashamed to go to God angry, because that's real, that's part of who we are. "Help me, O Lord, for there is no longer anyone who is godly. The faithful have disappeared from humankind. They utter lies to each other while with flapping lips and a double heart they speak." And then there are prayers for recovery, that aching to be made well. "Turn, O Lord, save my life. Deliver me for the sake of your steadfast love." And then we praise God with our prayers. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." What a range of emotions the Psalms help us to identify. All done in prayer, all going to God with who we are, the realness of our own personalities, the reality of our own lived experience. Australian author Michael Lunig writes, "We imagine our way inwards and downwards, and there, with heartfelt thoughts or words, we declare our fears and our yearnings. We call out for love and forgiveness. We proclaim our responsibility and gratitude. The struggling, grounded soul speaks to the higher spirit, and thus we exist in the mornings and the evenings of the heart. Thus we are affected and changed by the qualities we have created within ourselves. We pray. Jesus gave us some great examples of praying out of emotion. When Jesus stood outside the cave where Lazarus had been buried, he not only called to God called to Lazarus to come out, but he prayed to God in thanksgiving. And the thanksgiving that he prayed for was that this situation had happened so that he could demonstrate his power to the people, so that they would believe that he was the Son of God. So imagine the feeling in his heart as he's praying to God, "Thank you, God, for making this happen, for letting the people see your glory in this act." Toward the end of his life, Jesus prayed for the disciples. He prayed that they would be protected from evil. What a prayer of love that is. He cares so much about what they've experienced, what they've been through, and what they're going to go through when he is no longer with them, that he asks God to protect them, care for them, and give them hearts for what they are to do. And when Jesus prayed for himself, he prayed that he may be glorified to be with God again. Jesus knew about emotions. Jesus laughed. Jesus wept. Jesus was troubled, frustrated, sometimes angry. And I know that he talked to his Father about each one of those feelings and what to do with them. And that's what I invite you to do as you pray, to be in touch with where the feelings are being generated from. What is it that's causing you to feel? And talk to God about that. God wants to hear that. Yes, God knows what's going on in our lives. God knows how we're feeling. But in the Lord's Prayer, we learn that God wants us to say back to God what's going on in our lives, what's happening with us, and being able to express the raw emotions that go with that. After Jesus teaches the disciples the prayer, he gives them a couple of examples about how to, one thing to remember when praying. He talks about the neighbor who goes to, or a man who goes to his neighbor begging for bread. And at first the man says, "No, my children are in bed, the doors are locked, I can't help you." But obviously the man persists. He keeps saying, "Please, please, I just need a loaf of bread, just one even. I've got this visitor and I have to feed them." He's persistent and the neighbor gives him the bread. Jesus says, "This is what I want you to do. Be persistent." And he also wants us to be careful what we ask for. If a child asks for a fish, we don't give them a snake. In other words, when we ask God for what we need, God knows our needs and will respond. But those needs come out of the feeling with which we talk in our prayers. And when the child asks for an egg, they don't get a scorpion. We're not going to harm the child. So when we pray, we are real. We are real. We are real people of hearts and feelings. A series of prayers that I want to share with you are prayers that have gone up for Marianne Clemens this last week. I prayed with Marianne at 6 o'clock on Friday morning before she went into surgery. Friday a week ago, and it was a wonderful experience for both of us. I think we both hung up in tears, but tears of of joy, tears of wonder, knowing that God would be there the whole time with her. And previous to that and through this whole week after the surgery, the prayers that have gone up for Marianne, I know, have been incredible. And they've been answered because she is doing so much better. She's on the road to recovery. God has given us an answer to our prayers. And I think it's because of the love that we feel, the love and joy we feel about Marianne. And God knows that and knows how important it is for so many of us to have that life still here among us. We don't pray in anger for someone to be healed, perhaps. But we pray in the joy of life. We pray for a sunny morning, the end of July, when it's only 70 degrees. We pray for those we love. We pray for those that we have a difficult time loving. We pray out of our hearts. And that's what God asks of us. Amen.